Welcome back to Lake Effect and our series, Project Milwaukee, Youth Violence. We turn now to John Hagedorn. He's a senior research fellow at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and he's been writing about Milwaukee gangs for decades. His new book takes a global view. It's called A World of Gangs, Armed Young Men and Gangsta Culture. John Hagedorn, it's good to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Jane.
You live in Milwaukee, writing about gangs all over the world in this book, and you've been observing gangs here since the early 1980s.
Right. You know, I watched them, the first named gangs, start to form and got to know the people who were the leaders of the gangs then, and that was the result of that was my first book, People and Folks.
And then back then, what were the first named gangs and where were they coming from?
Well, they were coming from the same communities that they're in now. I was working in Sherman Park and doing block club organizing, and kids would come into our neighborhood two to a bike and leave one to a bike with a bunch of bikes. And I followed them back to the Our Street School and watched them take the bikes apart, and they were selling the parts. And on the wall was 2-4 Flyboys, and that was the first named gang. And I started to talk about it, and there was extreme reaction that I shouldn't talk about gangs in Milwaukee, and that was a forbidden subject. Unfortunately, it was a reality, and somebody needed to talk about it.
Not talking about it because it would give everybody a bad impression of what was going on around.
Right, the neighborhood. We really can't have gangs in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee is sort of reputation and respectability that we would never have such a thing. That was the province of Chicago. And today, you know, 20-some years later, Milwaukee has higher rates of homicide than Chicago does. And, you know, that's really a matter of alarm for our city.
Back then, who were the kids? And were they basically the same kind of kids that you're seeing involved in gangs today?
Oh, absolutely. You're looking at, I mean, you have to look at the world today. 6 billion people in the world, 3 billion of them are under the age of 25, and 1 billion children are between 15 and 24. And when you look at a world that has over 1 billion people living in slums, you see that gangs and organization of youth is a natural phenomenon. It's happening everywhere, which is what the world of gangs is about. And kids are forming groups for identity, for survival, for, you know, economic security. It's taking different forms, but it's the same kids that are looking to try to build something to stare hopelessness in the face and say, this is something, this is ours. And so what we saw in Milwaukee back then and we're still seeing today is youth who don't have a channel, a constructive channel, finding a very destructive one. And it's really a very alarming phenomenon around the world. You know, again, why I wrote the book.
And that theme of hopelessness runs through this book. And just one more question about Milwaukee, and then I want to find the patterns that you found
okay.
around the world. But back then, you said your opinion was that if that problem of gangs in Milwaukee was not addressed or not somehow acknowledged and changes weren't made, that they would never go away. What kinds of change did you feel was possible and had to happen all those years ago to have stopped the growth of these gangs here?
Well, in People and Folks, I looked at deindustrialization and that we were losing our economic base and that there needed to be a replacement for the kinds of ladders that existed in the industrial economy where kids could find a good job and be able to look for a future. And what's happened in Milwaukee and in so many cities around the world is that rather than looking at those needs for economic security of young people, there's been war declared, war on gangs, really war on communities and youth. And their prisons have been the only place where you find security. And, you know, that hasn't worked very well.
So in this book, in A World of Gangs, you take the themes that you see in Milwaukee and Chicago, where you also study and work, and find them all around the world. And globalization, your theory is, has really contributed to this. Tell about that.
Well, the huge number of people, of young people that we have in the world today, and moving into cities, I mean, you have classic conditions for the growth of gangs. And along with the key concept, really, Jane, is the retreat of the state. Because what you see in around the world, as well as in the United States, is that while the military budget grows, while there's money for police and for prisons, there's less and less money for any kind of social security programs for economic developments. That's being not just withered away, it's sometimes being snatched away from cities. And you see that everywhere in Lagos and Rio de Janeiro, Cape Town, all the places where I've been when trying to look at the development of gangs. You see that the state has less of a presence within communities, or the only presence is a military one. And the result of that is that there's a military response. Armed young men are what we see all over the world, and not just gangs, but ethnic militias, religious police, soldiers for cartels. But I did one study with people from 10 different nations, and some of them were studying ethnic militias and some religious police and all sorts of different young people who were involved with organized armed violence. And what was interesting in that study was that if you took away the countries, the labels of the countries, and you just listened to the voices of the kids, they were all the same. You couldn't tell what country they were from. It was the same needs, the same experiences, the same anxieties. And so we see this as it's a mistake for us to look at the gang as being this one little narrow form, and this is a gang and these are all evil kids, whatever. We see this kind of response and a destructive response all over the world.
Well, I don't know about Rio de Janeiro or Cape Town, but in Chicago and in Milwaukee, millions of dollars in aid and economic development and so forth has been invested in these neighborhoods. And a lot of critics of your theory are going to say, you know, throwing more money at it, that's not the answer.
Well, I study in Chicago and live in Milwaukee, and there may be millions of dollars invested, but you have incredibly high rates of poverty. You have schools that are failing. And what you see on the national level, of course, are major budget cutbacks. And while there's attempts to address this problem or that, and whenever there's a flare-up in violence, you get all sorts of people running around saying we need to do something, and then they forget about it in the next cycle, and that what you really see are more police, prisons. The United States is the world leader in incarcerating people. And this is the solution that we come up with. And, you know, Jane, we've been having the same solution year after year. Let's lock more people up. Let's, you know, add more police and security. And at some point, we've got to say, like in any war, well, maybe we should have some peace negotiations here. Maybe we should try to figure out another way to go. And we don't do that. One of the themes in my book is to look at gangster rap. And, you know, that there's really two sides to it. On the one hand, it came out of the needs of young people to, you know, former gang members, Africa Bambaataa from the South Bronx, saying, we need to have an alternative. You know, on the other hand, there's the alienation that's there and the nihilism and the misogyny and the worship of violence. Boy, we need to listen to that. These are not signs of kids who are hopelessly lost, but they're signs that unless we do something, this is the path. And if you look at Milwaukee and the escalating rates of violence, you need to be alarmed here.
So in the rap, you're finding all kinds of clues and messages and signals in those lyrics.
Yeah, and the chapter talks about a street culture war. It's a war between different perspectives, corporate hip-hop, which is really looking at the rhymes of violence and trying to make money off of it. And then there's a whole underground movement around hip-hop that talks about pro-community values, talks about black pride and attempts to look at the issues of identity as being something that can be nonviolent and pro-community. That's the side that needs to be strengthened. But we got to listen to this stuff and realize how alienated youth are. This is a, I mean, and this is a worldwide problem. Rap is all over, and it's a sign that this, well, that we have a world of gangs.
Well, John, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
John Hagedorn of Milwaukee is an associate professor of criminal justice and senior research fellow at the University of Illinois at Chicago's Great Cities Institute. His new book is A World of Gangs, Armed Young Men and Gangsta Culture. We'll take a break now. Arts on Deck with Paul Kazadowski is coming up next. You're listening to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.